have a Bible with you today, if you'd turn with us over to 2 Kings chapter number 4. We were there last Sunday preaching out of this passage, and I feel that the Lord is not done within this text. 2 Kings chapter number 4. The Bible said, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. Thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditors come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. And then he said, Go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, shall pour out into all those vessels. Thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. It came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. You may be seated this morning. Thank you for standing and honoring the reading of the Word of God. Brother Smitty, would you pray for me before I preach this morning, friend? Amen. Last Sunday I preached on the fault when the creditor comes. The mother that wouldn't sell her children. And we looked, no doubt, last week at a gloomy picture. This morning I want to try to focus a new light upon this text from a gloomy picture to a gospel presentation. Within the reading of the Word of God this morning, you found a gospel presentation. If there's ever been a day and an hour where the gospel needs to be preached and proclaimed, it is this morning. There's no hope in Buddha. There's no hope in Confucius. There's no hope in religion. There's no hope in the schemes and the scams of this old world. But Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Now, I want you to know in this text, this gospel presentation in verse number 1, you'll notice there's a distress that appears. You can underline this word now. It's capitalized in my Bible, and it's capitalized for a reason. I want to talk a little bit, just a second, before I get to this distress about time. You'll notice that in this lady's life, everything was sailing along pretty good until this word appeared now. And I want to tell you, it's so important that you have a relationship with God for the nows of life. It's not so much about how much you were blessed and what had went on in your life back yonder, but right now we need to realize that time is very important. We need to realize that now can come to us in all of our lives. We never know what a phone call will bring or what a neighbor will bring to it. We never realize what's going to happen now. Capitalize now. And so we see within this text, this now, there cried a certain woman, a in particular woman. Aren't you glad that God is not caught up in on numbers, but God is zeroed in on individuals? And we don't even know who her name is, but ain't you glad there's a God in heaven knowed about a certain woman? Means a lot to me, as Miss Emily sung. I'm so glad I know His voice, but thank God He knows mine this morning. Now there cried a certain woman. I want to tell you this as your preacher this morning. You may be shouting today, but you may be crying in the morning. But aren't you glad that joy, weeping may endure for the night, but joy will come in the morning. Heaven will fix it all. Now, we see this distress. There cried a certain woman, and within this distress, I want you to know in this text, her husband had died. We don't know how long ago he died, but no doubt if you read and you study out this passage that it happened pretty soon. She had not got over that instance. And I'm going to tell you, death always leaves families different than how that it found them. So now there cried a certain woman. I want to thank God for those that can cry. Many can't even cry. But we see that this woman has been touched in this distress. Now, within this, notice there's a law that is perplexing. I don't know how old this man was. We have no idea how he could have been a young man. But I want to tell you, as your country preacher this morning, that me and you have no promise about how long we're going to live in this old world. You young people, I would love to tell you that you'd have a whole life as I've had in front of you, but I can't promise you that this morning. I would even think that I could have a life ahead of me as some that is older in this assembly today, but God don't promise me that. And therefore, that's why it's so important that we know the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as our Savior. Because there's a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun. Now, this distress. There's a law that is perplexing. Now, you'll notice in Romans 5, verse number 12, there's a death that appeared. And I want to read a few verses this morning and bring out the highlights of this content of this message, but in this distress, there's a law that is perplexing. In Romans 5, And verse number 12, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And listen to your preacher today. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Death has passed upon all of us. There's nobody under the sound of my voice that is immune to death. That's why you need a man of God telling you to get ready for an eternity to come. Death is coming! Now, this distress, there's a law that is perplexing. Death is such a uncertain moment. Death is such a tragic moment. But I want to say, within this distress, we see that there is a law that is perplexing. Death has passed upon all men. Number two, not only is there a law that is perplexing, but there is a law that is prevailing. In Romans 5 and verse 21, the Bible simply reads like this, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm going to tell you, not only is there a law that is perplexing, but there is a law that is prevailing. Death is coming on us. You can run as far as you want to run. You can run as fast as you want to run, but you'll never outrun death. Because there's a law that is prevailing. We're all going to lay this body down. But aren't you glad you don't have to die forever? Aren't you glad we that know Christ, when we lay this body down, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We'll get a new body. We're going to the celestial city where the builder and maker's God. We're going to see the Lamb of God. He's the light of it. There'll never be no darkness there. There'll never be no defeat there. There'll never be no despair there. Honey, I'm glad one glorious day Jesus came in my life, and now death will not hold me. Glory to God. The distress, there's a law that is perplexing. There it is, a law that is prevailing. In Romans 6 and 23, there is a law that is permanent. A lot of folks will write a law, they'll get rid of the law. But there's a law that God wrote that will never be erased. It's written in concrete. It will never be done away with. This death is permanent. But we that are saved is going to live forever. See, a law that's perplexing, a law that is prevailing, but a law that is permanent. In Romans 6, verse number 23, there the Bible simply says this, and I would love what the Bible says. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's no other way to live except by Christ. We see her distress. Now, back into this text in 2 Kings 4, it's a powerful chapter. And within this we see that now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha. Not only is there a distress, but now let's look at the demands. There's some demands, Brother Joe, that appear within this text that a lot of times people overlook it, and I want to highlight to our congregation this morning. Not only do we see here that it's just distress, but there is demands. What kind of demands you see, preacher? Look what the Bible said in verse 1. Thy servant, my husband's dead. Thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditors come to take unto him my two sons. Watch this, to be bond men. Now, let me tell you what's happened here. Her husband owed a creditor. He died. She couldn't pay the bill. So the law would come and take their children, and they would be sold into slavery in order that the creditor would be paid off. Now, here we see not only distress, but we see demands. First of all, I want to highlight this. There's a bill that had to be paid. And I want to say something. She didn't have it to pay it. And I want to tell everybody here this morning, there's a big bill that's got to be paid. My sin and your sin, but it's not within us to pay the bill. Jesus paid it all. Now the demands, the bill was to be paid. And she didn't have it. In Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 1, I want you to notice this. This goes against a lot of religion this morning. Hebrews 10, the Bible said in verse number 1, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Now there was a bill to be paid and she didn't have it to pay it. Look in Hebrews 10 and verse number 11. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, talking about the God-man, Jesus Christ Himself. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God. The demands, a bill was to be paid. You can work your fingers to the bone and never pay your sin debt. You can confess your sins to every Baptist preacher. You can confess your sins to every Roman priest. And your sin debt will be unpaid. You see, she didn't have what it took to pay her debt. And this Bible, this is a hard thing about people, trying to get people ready to meet God, especially good moral people. And I've been around some of the greatest people that a man could ever be around. And they're so hard to reach because they're morally good. And they don't see the need to confess their sins and become broken over their sinful state and cry out to a Savior to save them. But I want to remind you this morning, this Bible says there's none good. No, not one. Be careful what you say, what others are doing. It may be in you to do the same thing. The distress, the demands, a bill had to be paid. Not only was there a bill to be paid, but did you notice in that text, he said he was coming in to get their sons to be bondmen. Not only a bill to be paid, but in this demand there was a bondage to be proved. Isn't this a picture of sin? You say, oh, come in and I'm going to take your children and hold them captive. They will be in bonds, for they will be bondmen. Can I tell you that the chains of sin will bind you down this morning? And your sin soon, you go to playing with sin before long, your sin will be playing a fool with you. Honey, let me tell you, you'll not play with sin without paying the price for sin. You see, there was a bill to be paid, but there was a bondage to be proved. I was in that bondage a long time. I hate anything to have a hold of me. And I was in sin's prison for way too long. The devil had me bound, and I could not be set free. The things I wanted to do, I could not do them. And the things that I didn't want to do, I couldn't keep from doing many of them. Because I was in bondage. The Bible teaches us in the book of Galatians, chapter number 4, and verse number 3. Here the Bible said this, but when the fullness the time was come. God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. This morning, I sure am glad that in verse number 3, it says, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. You see, this distress and its demands, it demanded a bill to be paid. It demanded a bondage to be proved. But I tell you something else about this passage. It demanded a broadcast to be preached. You don't have to stay in your bondage. There's somebody that can pay your sin debt this morning. And therefore, in this broadcast to be preached in Colossians chapter number 2, if you turn with me there, what a great passage in verse number 13, Colossians 2 and 13. You being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. You see, this morning, it's one of two things, the way you'll pay your sin debt. When you meet Christ and die, if you're not saved by the grace of God, you'll pay your sin debt in a devil's hell. Or you can choose by grace through faith the price He's paid for you on the cross, that He's paid your debt, and you will accept Him as your payment. And I sure am glad I took the latter. The gospel presentation. The distress, the demands. In verse 2 of our text of 2 Kings 4, notice the decision. Something happens in this text. The Bible said that, and Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Now I want you to notice her favor. What shall I do for thee? Does anybody here need Christ to do something for you this morning? You see, our God is unlike any other God that's ever been preached about, talked about, or experienced. For we have a God that can see about our needs individually. He simply said this and showed favor. What do you need? What you don't realize this morning, God has showed you favor to give you a presentation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has showed you favor for the families that you have been hooked up to. God has showed you favor by friends that He's allowed you to cross the path. It's no accident that you're here this morning. The favor of God is amazing to me. Here, Elisha showed her favor. I realize your problem. You have a bill that you cannot pay. Your children are fixing to be bondmen. What can I do for you? What a favor. Can I tell you, we all are either in this situation or were in this situation. But aren't you glad God has showed us favor through the Lord Jesus Christ? The biggest lie that was ever told to me as a young kid, I was raised in a church that believed in being baptized and washing away your sin. That's not in the Bible. Only the blood of Jesus can wash away our sin. I was taught as a young kid if I'd be baptized at 12 and if I could live good enough when I got to heaven, I could wait and see if I could make it in. But honey, I got a lot better story to tell than that this morning. The distress, the demand, but the decision, her favor. What shall I do for thee? But then notice not only her favor, but look at her fascination. He said, what shall I do for thee? What hast thou in the house? You say, what's the fascination? I'm glad what's in the house this morning can fix your sin debt problem. Jesus is in the house. Where two or three are gathered together, He said there, He would be in the midst. Aren't you glad that the cure is in the house this morning? Now, He said, not only showed her favor, then we see her fascination, by the way, in Romans 6 and verse number 17 alludes to this statement. Here Paul's writing and he says this, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness." Her decision, her favor, her fascination. Verse 5, look at her faith. The Bible said, look what she does now. So she went from him and shut the door. And I never noticed this last Sunday preaching, but I noticed it this morning. She shut the door on her and her sons. You know what would help your situation this morning? If you'd move by faith and shut the door up and talk to God between just you and Him. Shut the door on you. By faith. I'm glad that morning, August of 1981, when I stepped out by faith. Nobody there even knew I got saved that morning. They thought I was simply joining the church. Before I stepped, my heart said, "Lord, save me." It's a great fascination to me that everything that would fix me was in that house that morning. But I had to move by faith and close the door. You could close the door on it this morning if you'd run to Him by faith and trust Him to be your Savior. Young person, are you saved? Older person, are you saved? Middle-aged person, I'm your preacher. I want to be honest to you. You better get saved. We see her favor, her fascination. He said, "I know what can fix you. It's in the house." She'd been looking over it. But then, lastly, I want to close this sermon with this thought this morning. Preaching on the gospel presentation. Not only the distress we see, the demands that we've seen, and the decision that we've seen, but lastly, notice the deliverance that we see. It's very important that you see this. This will help you this morning if you'll get a hold of it. And bear with me just 5 more minutes. Now this deliverance. Look in verse 5. So she went from him and shut the door. Aren't you glad that you got a God that you can shut the door with? Shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons and shalt pour out in all those vessels. Verse 5. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. I want to say, first of all, in her deliverance, in verse number 5, the oil she found poured. Here, as we see the oil as a typology in the Bible of the Spirit of God. I'm glad that day that I got the door closed. There was something that not only poured out of me, but poured into me. I'm glad the oil's still pouring. Where would we be without the Spirit of God? The Bible says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. You must receive the Spirit of God to go to heaven. The Bible says the day that we receive Christ as our Savior, we receive the Spirit of God. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, but behold, all things have become new. Have you had the experience of being born again? Not joining a church. Not going through rituals. But have you been born again? The deliverance, the oil poured. Verse 7. This is wonderful. She came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil, pay the debt, and leave thou and thy children on the rest. Not only do you see that the oil poured, but the oil provided. It was enough to pay off the debt. And I want to remind you today, what Jesus done on the old rugged cross will pay off your debt this morning. The oil poured. The oil paid. I'm glad I'm going to heaven this morning. The oil poured. The oil provided. It was enough to pay off the debt. How are you thinking about getting to heaven? Your good works, your good deeds, it's insufficient to the price that has to be paid for our sin debt. It took Christ and Christ alone to pay for the sins of mankind on an old rugged cross in order that it would appease God. The deliverance. Watch this, I'm done. The oil poured. The oil provided. But the oil proved. Look what it said. She came, told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children on the rest. You see, the oil, it proved that it had enough. Not only did it pay off her past debt, it paid off all of her future debt. I'm glad that Christ done. He done one time and He paid His life for the sins of this whole world. Jude 1:24. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. I'm not counting on what I do to get to heaven. I'm counting on what's been done and given to me at Calvary's cross to get me to heaven. Not only did it pay my debt, it keeps paying my debt. Look what it says, Miss Sharon, won't you come? Go sell the oil. Pay the debt. And look, Renee. Live thou and thy children of the rest. I'm glad that the Spirit of God is sufficient this morning. I'm glad at Calvary He paid my price. And the one payment that He paid, He'll never have to die again because He paid for every sin I'd ever commit if I trust Him by faith. Yes, He said this, if we'd confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. book of Ephesians this morning. He simply said this in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 1, verse number 12. Look what the Bible says. That we should be the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. You've got to trust Him. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after also that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. In other words, He's come by and He's put a seal upon us by the Spirit of God that lives in us until the redemption of the purchased possession. You see, this is what many of you don't understand this morning, but the older that I get, the more I understand more clearly than I ever have. That day I trusted Christ, now I can say I've been saved. And now that I walk in Christ, this Bible teaches Christ lives in me. Not only have I been saved, I'm being saved. He keeps me. I fall short every day. There's nobody here can live a good enough life. I've been saved, I'm being saved, but one gloriously day I shall be saved. And I know in the eyes of God that's a complete work at the first step. But I just want to teach you that this morning. Every day of my life, God's working on me now. Things I used to do and say and go, that didn't bother me. But it does now. And one day I'm going to get a new glorified body. I'll have a new mind. I'll never have another bad thought. I'll never lose my temper. I'll never be angry again. I'll never have any more sad circumstance. I'm going to totally be delivered that day when I get my new body. And this morning I want to keep this thing so simple. What was in the house was enough to save her house. Jesus is here this morning. There's no Baptist church can wash away your sins. There's no preacher can forgive you of your sin. You have to come individually by faith. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life.